Saints Perpetua and Felicity, pray for us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, there's a saying, and I think it actually is the rule of baseball, three strikes and you're out. Now, St. Peter today in the Gospel, he's thinking to himself, he understands pretty well what our Lord is up to, what his spirit is, what he's really teaching. The Jews, like baseball, only would forgive three times. So St. Peter says to our Lord, feeling very sort of generous, he says, how many times should I forgive my neighbor if he offends against me? Up to seven times, which is double plus one. He thought, as I say, that was extraordinary. But our Lord tells him, no, it's 70 times seven times, which was a Jewish way. See all the numbers today? Of saying without end, infinitely, always. So St. Peter learns a lesson today in the Gospel. We're thinking of St. Peter today because our church in Rome that we go to, the stational church, is called St. Pudenciana, and it was an ancient palace of the Pudens family, and they had a senator, and this senator and his family became Christians, and they took care of St. Paul, but especially St. Peter, and for a while, during the persecutions, the popes lived there and sort of hid out in their palace in Rome. So we're thinking about St. Peter today and forgiveness. It's a good thing our Lord says 70 times seven times. You're not meant to do the math on that and count. The idea is you just continue to forgive. Why is that a good thing? Because our Lord says we will be forgiven if we forgive others. That's right in the Our Father. In other words, that's the only limit that God puts on forgiving us our sins. If we forgive others too. Some days, though, that's kind of hard to do. But St. James says the just man, someone who's really pretty good, he sins seven times a day. So you see, we all need to be forgiven. So that's why we start the Mass right away with the Confiteor. That's why last thing at night before you shut your baby blues, what do you kneel down at your bed and pray? The act of contrition. You say the act of contrition when you go to confession to get your sins forgiven, and I think our students say it too, don't you, at the end of the school day in your prayers together. We say it a lot because we sin a lot. Now, sometimes we forget that our sins affect other people, sometimes directly. If you smack somebody in the face or you tell a lie about somebody or steal something, but sometimes indirectly, because we're all part of the same church, which our Lord says is like a body, a mystical, a special sort of a holy body. What one person does affects another, the same thing as in your actual body. Look, if you get a scratch, or maybe if you have like a bad itch on your skin, or like a terrible rash that's spreading, what would you do? You'd show it to your mother, and what would your mother do? Well, she would have some ointment that she would put on it to take away the sting and to help it to heal. That's what Holy Mother Church does for us, and that's the story in the epistle today. A woman who was a widow, and she was one of the wives of the prophets. Eliseus had lesser prophets under him who helped him do his work. And one of these prophets died, and his wife was a widow, and she had no money, and they were going to come, the creditors were, and collect her two boys and enslave them, because in the Hebrew system, in the old world, that's what you did. If you couldn't sort of just declare bankruptcy in a court and start over again, no, you got enslaved until everything was paid to the last penny. So that's where she is. And so she comes up to the prophet, and the women in the epistle stories during Lent are always very outspoken. She says, my husband's dead, and you know that my husband was a very good man, and he served God. Now, what are you going to do about it? Well, Eliseus thinks quickly on his feet. He's a prophet. He has to do that. He thinks, well, what do you have in your house? And she says, I, your handmaid, I only have a little ointment with which I anoint myself. And he says, good, Now look, you borrow vessels, pans and cans and things from all of your neighbors, go in and shut the door, because God usually does his works in private. You shut the door and you pour out your oil. Keep on pouring. And so she did that. She did what she was told, obedience. And then she says to the boys, boys, are there any more vessels? No, we filled up the last one, Mom. Good, then the prophet says, now sell all that extra oil in the market. And after you've paid off your debtors, then you and your boys, you live off the rest. And she obeyed, and she did, and everything was fine. Forgiveness, that's what that oil stands for. But it also stands for the oil sacraments. It's a way to remind us, the church does, that we'll always have the holy oils that the bishops consecrate every year for baptism and for consecrating chalices, for ordaining priests and consecrating bishops, and for last rites to wash away all of our even forgotten sins before we die. It's a way of saying, I am always with you, even though things may get rough. Forgiveness. That's what that oil stands for, children. It's really what it means to be a Christian. Today we have Saint Felicity and Perpetua. And Saint Perpetua was a noblewoman, and Felicity, she was a slave in Northern Africa. And they were both young women and converts to the faith. And just before she got baptized, Perpetua had a difficult discussion with her dad, because he was an important pagan. And he said, look, daughter, if you get baptized, you're going to be put to death, because it's against the law. But she pointed to a vessel on the table. She said, Dad, look, that water pot or whatever it is what it is. And I am a Christian. I believe. So she went ahead and got baptized, and then she got arrested, and she was put to death along with Saint Felicity for being a Christian. Now, when we say act like a Christian, we mean especially be charitable, be kind to other people, although being a Christian is, of course, more than even that. But we can't get very far unless we're willing to forgive. You know, we all get upset with each other, and sometimes people carry on and they make a fuss and they say things they don't really mean, and then having said them, well, then they feel better about it. But all of us must forgive, and all of us must be forgiven. It's no good being a Christian if we hold two or three people that we really secretly hate or openly hate, and we'll never forgive them, and we always say something bad about them if we get a chance. That just wouldn't be Christian. That's what we're most of all meant to give up during Lent. Forgiveness is great, children. It means that our Lord keeps his promise. He puts our sins behind him. That means you don't see him anymore. That means you get a fresh start. You know how wonderful you feel when you leave a confessional? Or with a beautiful sunrise as we had today. Lots of sun. Yesterday's dark day, that's behind us, and that's forgotten. But the only condition is this: let us forgive so that we may be forgiven. And at every Mass, in the Our Father, before communion, that's exactly what we pray. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.